First, the high school graduating class of 2000 is getting ready for its 20th class reunion next year. But in some communities, the anniversary may be a painful one because of the impact of opioid, drug addiction, and overdoses. Our next guest dug into the stories behind the statistics by talking to members of the class of 2000 at an Ohio high school at the center of the opioid problem. Dan Levin covers American youth for the National Desk at the New York Times. One of his latest pieces is headlined, "The Class of 2000 Could Have Been Anything Until Opioids Hit." Dan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
What led you, Dan, to Minford High School in a small town in Ohio?
So I've actually been reporting from that county in southern Ohio on the Kentucky border for much of this year and looking at the impact of the opioid crisis on children. You now have a generation of children who are growing up with addicted parents. And over my time there, I met people who were in this class and were telling me about what happened to them in high school and since. And it became clear to me that this was more than just a few kids, that the scope of the opioid crisis was incredibly pervasive, not only in this community, but in this school in terms of how many people have been affected. So that got me thinking, how do we tell this story? And I was able to get a hold of the yearbook. And so that's kind of how we framed this.
Yeah, you tried to reach out to all the students you could find in the class. I think you ended up with just shy of half of them over time. And I want to look at some of the stories you heard. What were people saying about their first encounters with opioid pills in their high school days?
So you have to kind of go back in time to the mid-90s. This is a class that entered high school in 1996, the year that OxyContin was first introduced by Purdue Pharma. And before that, you had teenagers who would go out drinking maybe around a bonfire, but some of these classmates were telling me that they started doing, snorting, swallowing pills, various painkillers, and didn't really know what these were. They just knew that they got them high.
Yeah, one of the students or the former students looking back said, "We didn't know we were doing heroin." I think it seems like if you'd told them, "Hey, these are heroin pills," it might have been a different story.
Yeah, I mean, they really had no idea. They didn't know that these were opioids. They didn't even know what opioids were. This is a very small town. It's pretty rural. There had never been any overdoses, nothing like that. And you were having kids who were going to parties, and they'd be on plates crushed up. You had kids who were doing them in school on the back of on their desks. I heard from classmates talking about kids were using baseballs to crush them up and snorting them behind a propped up textbook in the back of class.
And you talk to a wide variety of students. I mean, this is the athletes and the honor students and just the everyday kids. This is something that didn't just affect one particular group within the school.
Yeah, I mean, think of it almost like The Breakfast Club or Clueless or this kind of iconic high school scene. And all of a sudden, this very dark force came in. And they're teenagers. So you have members of the basketball team. You've got kids in the Bible club, across the high school world. And people were doing it, and then they got addicted.
Talking to Dan Levin from the New York Times about his reporting on a high school in Ohio at the center of the opioid epidemic, some people call it. He talked to just shy of 50 students from the graduating class of 2000 there. And Dan, from all the quotes you have from all these students, and you show what they looked like in the yearbook and today, everybody had a connection, whether they did pills themselves or had a loved one who died or had ended up with somebody's raising their niece or nephew. Everybody had a connection, it seems like.
So, yeah, I spoke to almost 50 people, 49 people, and 15 of them said that they had become addicted to drugs. 36 have family members. 10 have gone to prison or been arrested for crimes involving drug use. And this wasn't just kids who were partying after school. I talked with people who were prescribed opioids after a car accident, for example, and that's how they became addicted. It really kind of ran the gamut. And it was just kind of devastating to hear the impact of this over the last 20 years. I mean, you have some who became seriously addicted to all types of drugs, who went to prison, who've lost family members, I mean, close family members. I talked to one woman whose brother was in this class, and he died of an overdose a few years ago. There were actually three kids in this class who ended up dying due to their drug use.
I want to focus on one story, somebody who's trying to help others now deal with addiction, Jake Bradshaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible, incredible man. He was one of those who started using opioids back in high school. You know, it was in the party scene. He was quite popular. And over the years, it really spiraled into serious drug use. We're talking about heroin addiction, cocaine, just all types of drugs. And he's really turned himself around and started a Facebook blog called Humans of Addiction that has hundreds of thousands of followers. He also runs The Addict's Diary, which is another Facebook blog that has around, I think, 800,000 followers. So, you know, he's really been trying to humanize what addiction looks like over the last generation. And he's also working in the recovery industry. So, you know, he knows what this is like, and he's trying to make change.
And something that comes out of looking at it, as you did, Dan, looking at this whole high school class, I think we hear a lot of stories about the individuals who have been affected. In this reporting and some of your other reporting there in Minford, it's affecting a whole community.
Exactly. I mean, it's a small community, but even if you zoom out to the county, really, it seems like everybody knows someone who's dealing with or has dealt with addiction. It's in families. You'll see entire family trees where addiction has taken root. It's shocking, actually.
And then in some of your other reporting, and this is just tragic, just to say it, a generation later now, schools there are having to teach their, you know, kindergartners coping mechanisms if their parents are addicted.
Exactly. So a lot of these children are coming to school having experienced extreme neglect, physical abuse, other kinds of abuse, and they're getting to school and just don't have the psychological and behavioral abilities to function. So you'll have educators at these schools, and certainly in Minford, talking about how it's hard to even get these kids to learn to read because they're so behind and they're so traumatized. So now in Minford Elementary School, they have an entire program where they're teaching children how to deal with trauma. They're teaching them about how to essentially meditate. They're teaching them how to process anger. They're teaching them how to make emotional bonds. In many ways, they're doing the job that parents traditionally have done, because there's really no other option in order to get these kids to succeed.
We talked about Jake Bradshaw a little bit. I believe there's another story from one of the students in the class of 2000 who hadn't been involved in drug problems then, but is, you know, working with kids today. Do you see people from the class of 2000 there and others in the community being part of the solution now?
On some level, yes. You have members of this class who've gone on to become teachers and other professionals who are, if they're not directly trying to help the next generation in the classroom, are advocating. Their families are advocating. There's lobbying going on, I think, from the grassroots level. And hopefully that will make change. But this is obviously such a huge issue. It takes more than just one community.
Yeah, what looking at this problem, this nationwide problem with opioids through the lens of this one community in one county in Ohio, do you get the sense that things are getting better in the last 19, 20 years?
Well, I think now there's obviously a recognition of what the problem was. A lot of these families get criticized for not knowing and not dealing with their children's addiction 20 years ago. But as one parent said to me, we didn't know what this addiction looked like. There had not been this kind of pervasive flood of opioid prescription pills before. And so now I think there is a recognition. There is more of a kind of rehab landscape, but I don't think it's enough. This is where policymakers and funding, I think, has to fill in those gaps. And you see that at these schools where they don't always even have the guidance counselors trained specifically to deal with some of these issues.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Dan Levin for joining us today. He covers American youth for the National Desk at the New York Times. He joined us for a look at his piece on the impact of opioid drugs on a Midwestern high school's graduating class of 2000 and his other reporting from rural Ohio.